first chapter. When I first read this, I think it was Dale that was talking. It kind of reminds me of the time I went preaching someplace. Most of you probably heard this. Doug had a long time I ever preached, but Doug's gone. And down Franklin someplace. And I pulled up. They called me right when I was leaving the building. So Cindy went there and went to Lost River. And I changed car and went down there. I found the building. Wasn't nobody there. Well, wasn't no cars there. Man, it's 5 minutes still. So I opened up. I just went in and got out and opened up the door. And the door was open. They had one pew across there. They had one guy and four women. That was all there. I guess some nursing home brought me in on a bus or something. I don't know. They didn't say anything to me about it. So, in reality, what happened that day, everything got done that day, I done it. I didn't know one guy. He told me what his name was, and I forgot about that. The other four ladies had wheelchairs and walkers and everything like that. I sitting there, and I leaned back over the counter. I said, it was 5 minutes after 10. I said, what time do we do? We start. And he said, whenever you want to get up and leave the same. So I said, all right. So I grabbed my son book and got up. And they said, can you teach a Bible class? And I said, I guess I can. So this lady said, here, you can have my book. And she gave me a book that is using. I thought, man, I got made. You know, book with answers to it. But, well, I opened it up. I said, what page is it on? It was blank. He hadn't filled nothing out. About 8 or 10 questions, and I don't know if you ever read a question, you have to answer at the same time, fill in the blank. Well, that's how that went. Anyway, get to the main point. I think it was Dale I was talking to. When I read the 4th chapter and the 4th first chapter, I said, how in the world can I make that interesting? It's just, you know, just terrible. Then he brought me into the sanctuary. I backed off 2 forefront. I goofed you up, Kenny. And measured the doorposts six cubits wide on one side and 6 cubits wide on the other side of the width of the tabernacle. What are you going to say about that? I'm not going to say very much. The width of the entranceway was 10 cubits. And the side walls of the entrance was 5 cubits. And on this side of the 5 cubits and on the other side, and he measured it length 40 cubits. And its width 20 cubits. You going to read this? What are you going to say about it? I said, man, I got to teach a class on this. I said, that kind of reminds me of the time I was down there preaching. I was up there just preaching away, and I looked down, and they're all 5 across the pew. They were sleeping. Every one of them asleep. I put the whole congregation to sleep. So if I got loud, they still slept. If I slacked down, they still slept. So if it was all, if I'd already made up my mind, I wasn't coming back that night. Can't get somebody else. Yes, sir?
It is teacher's reading, but the thing that impressed me about it was that he's not telling Ezekiel plans for the new temple. He's measuring it like it's already there. And that's the point, I think, that, you know, the people that are hearing Ezekiel's prophecy, I mean, at this point, Solomon's temple is gone, but here you have a divine being who's measuring the temple as if it's already been built. And that places hope within them.
Always has to be somebody in the crowd that's smart. Yeah, thankful that you got that. Well, this is the tabernacle. So I got the instruction. I wasn't smart enough. I should have called Doug and let him do it for me. I wasn't smart enough to get them both up on the thing at the same time. This sheet explains that sheet. I can't explain that sheet without this sheet. So, right here, This is the new temple that we've been talking about. And B, right here, that's in 41:4. And we haven't really looked at that yet today, but we will. And B, the most is the inner room of the chapel. So that's right before you get into the most holy. And they list this as being the inner room of the temple. Only thing I know what is only this is from the ESV Bible. It's not guided by the Holy Spirit. Just some man wrote it. Ezekiel's temple vision. See, right here he's got where it's the entrance to the temple, what he says it was, and that's 42:2. D, which is right here, and they said the imposing altar, although the number of stairs is not given, evidently it's not on the same level plateau, the entrance, the entire altar structure is about 16 feet. Right. Here with D is, so I don't know. I just take him at his word. And so there would be steps that would be required to get up to it. This area of the inner court was accessible only by priests. And not even the priests permitted earlier. So what's this section right here, I guess we're talking about? E, that's in 40th chapter, verse 46. We looked at it last time. And they said that is a chamber of the Zadonite priests. And then 40, then F, right below it, right here. This is E, when we just talk about this. These are both chambers on each side. And one of them, this over here, is for the priests who are in charge of the temple, according to this, right here, F. That's in 40, chapter, verse 45. And then in 40, 17, and 19, it's got G. And this is G right here, and he has that listed as the outer court with its 30 chambers in the outer wall. The way I understand these spots around here are chambers that they're talking about. H, we haven't got to this. This is that in 46. The temple kitchen. They tell me that is H right here. Got 1, 2, 3, 4 in each corner. And this was the temple kitchen. One in each corner of the court. And then 40:17, we got that last time. We had 30 outside, not counting the kitchen. We got 30 courts outside of the temple. And I assume that says these small rooms right here outside. The main east gate through which the glory of God of Israel returned to the temple is K, right here. This is the main entrance of the east. So if this is the east, that has to be west. And this is how you get to the main temple, according to this right. Then he's got reference point down here. You can take a tour, temple tour number one. Let's see, here's the one right here. It says, that's in 40th chapter, verse 6. The eastern main gate begins the tour. The east-west gates of the temple should be noted. It is down from the east gate and across from the most holy. So this is the east gate. This is across from the most holy. And so this is where we're at right here on number one. And there are a sequence of three elevation in the space in the inner temple, becoming increasingly. constructed, so different elevations inside this way I interpret what he's saying. I don't know. Number three says the northern face of the gate. Number three right here. So it's be the north, it's be the south right here. This is a gate right here facing north. The way I understand it, 40th verse and 28 is number 5. And number 5 is all the way down here. And it says, Ezekiel, entrance to the inner court is by the way of the south gate. So I guess that's got something to do with the line that's drawn right here on this. You can't always see that, but the shadow drawn for direction. 40 chapter, verse 32 is number 6. Then to the east gate, past the imposing altar, not yet described. So they haven't been described for us yet, but they got it listed here. 40, 35, and on to the north gate, which includes areas for handling sacrifice animals. So that'd be 7 right here. So this is up here close to the burnt offering. Evidently had a spot where they kept the animals here. They had to wash those animals and had to get them ready for the sacrifice, the wooden offering there. Number 8, Ezekiel approached the inner temple structure of Israel. First, describing his entrance, he is situated outside the entrance, and he gives the first measurement in interior, then the entire interior in 40, 48 through 41, 1. Number 9, the exit, the inner court through the north gate is exposed for northwestern quarter of the outer court, number 9. So, and this has got a little arrow there going over there, so I assume all this right here is what he's talking about. Number 10 is 42:5. We haven't got there yet. We'll get that Wednesday night, maybe. Ezekiel had his guide lead the temple from the east gate, that would be this gate right here, by which they entered from. And the vantage point Ezekiel had watching the return of the glory of God of Israel, the morning star. So when we get to 43, chapter 43, I guess we'll see that right there. That's what they have on that chart. You want to have Doug explain it to us? You're not going to make me mad if you raise your hand and say, yeah. I've done the best I can do with it. That's not very good. Okay, I got 2 more from the College Press. They're not very good, so I couldn't even read it. So I brought the College Press that I got it from, and I'm going to read that to you because I can't read it on my overhead. And it's got down here on the bottom what these numbers are up on top. These came through real good. And this down here says the temple court and the temple of Ezekiel. Number A, they got the Holy of Holy Place. B, the Holy of Holies, right here. C is the wall of the house. Some places we're going to read about the walls in here. Some of them is about 9 feet deep, thick. And that's probably had to do a little bit with protection. God designed it in that way, I don't know. We have D, which is the side chambers that we've seen earlier down through here. And F is the coroner. I'll probably all around this right through here on both sides. And both sides are listed, F. G is the front porch. That'd be right here. It's very obvious. And space of 20 cubits each. So this is the outer side, and that's about 20 cubits wide for him. So I'll go to the next slide, which I can't read any better, but it's more similar to the one we just had. We have A, we have the altar right here that we would burn things on. B is the building you mentioned, the gatehouse. I have a picture of the gatehouse, but I didn't put that on there. We have the kitchens here, just like we did on the other one right here, in the four corners. The priest's kitchen is right here, according to him, on each side. The sanctuary is this right here. And SP's got separate place. I don't know what that is. And then he's got this wall right here, the surrounding wall, all around the whole thing. That's according to the two pictures that I got, as bad quality as they are, of the Ziegler temple here. I couldn't do any better, couldn't get any better. Yes, ma'am?
So did they just go into the temple to do sacrifices? Did they actually do some kind of worship service?
I think they had worship service in there, but they had the they had animal sacrifice in there too. That's what this altar, this inner court, that's what this altar right here is for. But I think when the priest goes into their chambers, they had definitely have to worship God. God built this for that, to show him his presence, and so that they could worship to him. Yes.
Same dimensions,
everybody's seen that. It's an individual salvation, but the presence of God brings blessing. And in the 18th chapter, we find the individual stands accountable for the salvation. It's been individual things they have to do. In Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, I think, we talk about, don't you remember, they say, well, we got David, we got Moses. Don't matter who you got with you. It's the individual obligation to for this salvation. You got God's presence with you now. So they had to have this temple to represent God's presence with them, and that's one of the things here. You have the tabernacle, you have the temple, and now you got this Ezekiel temple or the other temple, you know. And the main thing is to show the people that I'm back, I'm with you, I didn't do all this, you did it. You're going to have repentance on your part. But blessings comes from God when God's with us. Anything else? Yes, sir.
One thing that kind of occurs to me, you showed how the elevation keeps increasing. Of course, the highest is the temple itself. So, just about wherever you were in Jerusalem or around about, you could see the temple. And the point was is that you know, that's God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. That's what
the temple
yes. was. By looking and seeing the temple, they knew that God was with them. Of course, we are the temple of God. The church is the temple, and individuals, Christians, are the temple. And, you know, it just occurs to me that you know, when the church stops being what God designed it to be, the point of all these measurements and everything is, you know, as he told Moses in building the tabernacle, see that you make all things according to the pattern. Same thing applies to the church. Christians, we're to be built according to the pattern God gave for us. And when we look at that, when we look in the pattern here, and we see that pattern being fulfilled in our lives and in the church, it gives us peace and comfort in knowing that God is with us.
It's supposed to.
When the time comes that we hear the pattern and we look at those who profess to be Christians or churches who profess to be the Church of Christ as he built it, and it's not, then there's going to be distress, you know, and those who love the Word of God. You know, you look around at the world today and you see all of the trouble and conflict and arguments, and, you know, it's all because people aren't fulfilling the works of the Spirit.
The tabernacle had been destroyed. The temple, Solomon's temple, is destroyed. It was more richer building, but it was smaller, the way I understand it, and in this temple. But they're all going to be destroyed. But the final one, God's church, our kingdom, will never be destroyed. And so that's what he's leading up to it. And by the fact, he will always be there with his people and assurance there with his people. I got a few comments there to go after that. And we'll try to get up on the board. The whole chapter 41 is talking about the inner temple sanctuary, I think. The temple interior structure is now described, I think, in chapter 41 in detail, including both the floor plan and the elevation plan. And when I looked at this, for those who build houses, I don't know if I can go back and get that or not, you'll see these little spot right here. Well, see, when you have on a house plan, if something's hard to understand, they'll have a little location there. And you refer to that and you see that, you know. And Bruce knows about that and sees that as well. That's what they had, and that's where we're at. Well, Ezekiel is guided in the interior, but does not follow his guide to the most holy place there in the fourth chapter. You know, so he's got an angel or some type of heavenly person with him that not only guiding him, but explaining everything to him. Evidently, the angel went in the holiest place, but Ezekiel does not. He stays outside from me reading. In the fifth chapter, verse 11, describes a three-story structure. I've read this two, three times. I finally come to the conclusion that the outer court is three stories. I don't know where it is. Maybe I'm just reading it wrong. Built into the temple wall. A building is located in the extreme west of the temple complex, but no purpose is identified for it. The cherubim, the angel, and the palm tree are decorated of Solomon's temple too. And so we have that in the new temple, you know. The picture of the angels and picture of palm tree, peace, and it was just decorated. That's all it's for, if I could figure it out. There was a building, if I'm reading and understanding this, in the back that was pretty good size that, to me, all that I could come up with it was for storage. And it was in the back, but I wouldn't. And a lot of times when I read this, when I got done reading with it, I still didn't know what it was talking about. In this chapter, the prophet gives a substantial amount of measurements and parts, I guess, so that they'd have a faith in it, and comparing it to the Solomon temple chambers and ornaments of the temple, and because they knew that. And so you remember I said last time, there at one time some of the old timers cried because the new temple wasn't as glorious as Solomon's temple was. Well, they didn't have the resources to do it that way, but it was still pretty nice. The prophet makes occasional reference to the temple of Solomon and to the temple of built by Moses, so it's all into one here. And then he makes reference to the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to set up. That's really the church is really going to be glorious in all of them. And it will never be destroyed until Jesus comes back, or God comes back for his people and take them with him. Then they won't be here on this earth any longer. The mention of the most holy place was the same as those in the temple of Solomon. According to 1 Kings, I read that two or three times. I thought, well, that's strange, but it's there. The walls of this was 6 cubits, or 9 feet thick. Why a wall that thick? The only thing I can think of is protection. God's instructed for them to make it that way, so God knew that they probably needed instruction. You know, you take a basketball goal, it's 10 feet tall. So a 9-foot wall would be almost high as a basketball goal. That's pretty thick. That's a lot of material there. Thick around the wall of this building, and there was chambers or rooms that was 4 cubits wide. All the chambers that we looked all the way around it. These were similar to the chambers of which we read about in Bethesda chapter and chapter 40. And so there's a bunch of them around there. To me, when I read that, I kind of got where it is or not. I don't know. I kind of got the idea that it's like guest chambers or motel room, a hotel room. People stay and use everything. If I'm out in left field, I don't know. I know some of you think I was alive and walking around that time, but I wasn't. So I never did see it. I just know a little bit about what I read, and that's not very much. It seems like the architecture was done so as to be pleasing to the eye. It wasn't as glorious as Solomon's temple, but it was pretty nice. I remember the first new car I can remember getting, it was a 1953 Chevrolet. It was just plain dad, but God, it was just plain as it could be. Boy, I thought that was really something. I thought, man, we have arrived, a 53 Chevy, and it was just plain as it could be. We went over to see my grandfather, and he smoked a pipe, and he took one of these big old kitchen matches, and we reached across the dashboard and lighted his pipe with, and left the big old mark across there. Chapter 41, the dimension of the sanctuary, and he says, then he brought me into the sanctuary and measured the door post 6 cubits wide on one side and 6 cubits wide on the other side, the width of the tabernacle. And the width of the entranceway was 10 cubits, and the side wall of the entrance was 5 cubits. and on this side, and 5 cubits on the outer side. And he measured it length 40 cubits, and its width 20 cubits. Then he went in, inside and measured the floor post, 2 cubits, and the entrance, 6 cubits high, and went, and the width of the entrance was 70 cubits. And he measured the length 20 cubits and the width 20 cubits beyond the sanctuary. And he said to me, "This is the most holy place. This is the angel or the heavenly being instructing Ezekiel, telling him what it is, the most holy place, place where God's going to be." I have these verses here, but I did not write, and I'm looking at the clock, we're on the time. I did not write the whole chapter down because I figured it down, but we made a few comments, and I thought if we have time, we'll read the whole chapter and make comments about it as we could. The work of reference given to the chapter as a whole, the subject of the temple, so the whole 41st chapter about the temple, the prophet makes occasional reference to the temple of Solomon and the temple built by Moses. And the door was 10 feet cubic or 15 feet wide. That's a pretty good sized door. My double carpet and my double garage door is, I think, 16. The single door is 8. So it'd be about like a double door in your garage. And it's pretty wide. The most holy place was the same as those in the Temple of Solomon. So some just think, so Solomon's temple and the most holy place was, the way I understand it, was the same size. The size chambers on the wall, the building at the west end, the dimension and design of the temple area. That's what he had. He said the wall of this was 6 cubits or 9 feet thick. We talked briefly about that a while ago. And all around the wall of the building was chambers of rooms that was 4 cubits wide. The chambers was 3-story high. The whole architecture was good. It was a very good place. It wasn't Solomon's temple, but it was good. Transparent glass was not known in those times or had been invented in those times. So the narrow windows or lattice loophole were provided to serve these located here or give lights so you can see out and transfer both ways. The ceiling and the walls was covered with wood paneling. Generally thinking now, if you're doing a remodeling stage, if you panel the walls and ceiling, that'd be a cheaper way to do it. Rick will tell you right now, if you need to put drywall on the ceiling, since he works on a drywall company. But if you put paneling, and of course they make pretty nice paneling, pretty rich paneling, but I guess when we said paneling, it's wood, it was probably thicker and better than our wood, than our paneling was. Cherubim and palm trees was for ornaments only, just for decoration that I could just see, and each had two faces. The cherubim had two faces. They could see the palm tree and was one of the most beautiful plants that they had. The palm tree was, you know, that's what it's all about. And I think it's one reason that cherubim would be those of a man and a lion. So it's two-faced. When you think something about two-faced, this is in a good sense. Most of the time when you think about that, it's in a bad sense. The wall of the temple from the ground to the highest of the door had these ornaments engraved or pictures of a lion and palm trees. Just strictly decoration. When I read this, I thought about that picture my wife bought. She went to a party and they had the pictures bought and everything, you know. I said, "You know what?" She said, "I bought it, $1,500. I said, $1,500? I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just thought it looked nice." So she hung it on the wall a few years later. So I go, called it by name. What kind of was it? "Oh man, that's a $6,000 or $7,000 print." I said, "Well, wait a minute. You wouldn't want to take it home with you, would you? You know?" And so she didn't know what she was doing, but that's probably what made me think that. The altar of wood was for the purpose of burning incense, so they had that inside so you could do that. And the table before the Lord was in the tabernacle, located against the veil covering the Ark of the Testimony, where the Lord was represented by the glorious light. There were two apartments in the temple, hence needed for two doors called folding doors, or that what we would call bifold doors, you know, nowadays. And, you know, it's terrible. We're getting away from it. We don't have bifold. They started out with that, and then they put pocket doors, and they was really good. You know, it's like slide one time, but if it came off the hinge or anything, most of the time it's inside the wall. So that's what they had here. From reading that and being in the construction business, I just said that they had folding doors. That's what it looks like to me, or sound like to me. And that's pretty popular back in the 60s and 70s on utility rooms and stuff like that. You had bifolding doors, sometimes on closets. The measurement of the inner house included the court and associated building is now completed. The angel returns to the eastern gate at the point at which the measurement had begun, and it looks like a third wall formed a square of about 500 reeds, and since a reed is thought to be about 6 cubits, the outer area would have been 3,000 cubits square. This is the new temple. The size of Solomon's temple was 500 cubits square. So there's a big difference in size there. Well, Larry Zucker wants to stop. That's probably be a good idea before the whole class. See, I had five that sleep with me down there. I have probably about 40 in here, so I don't know all 4 of you go sleep. Thank you very much.